So especially direct my words at the beginning of this homily to our candidates and catechumens. It's always one of my greatest joys as a pastor each year at the Easter Vigil when I have the blessing of being able to bring people into the faith. I'll be honest, as a pastor, it's by far my favorite thing that is reserved to being a pastor. Because you got to deal with a lot of administration stuff as a pastor. That's not so much fun. But you guys are my favorite part of being a pastor, because it's a tremendous joy of being able to see the way that the Holy Spirit has led you to this stage here in your faith journey, and the ways that the Holy Spirit will continue to lead you in preparation for the Easter Vigil, and then at that special moment when you receive those sacraments of initiation. So please know especially you're in my prayers and the prayers of our community here as well. And I'm especially pleased that the majority of our class, this is the largest class that Deacon David has told me that we have had during his time in preparing those for formation, and certainly the biggest class that we've had since my time here as pastor. And the majority of you come from an age range that many times our society says does not care about God or faith. And so I'm especially proud of you all for how you have chosen that stereotype not to be true, because of the ways that you are responding to the way that the Holy Spirit has been working and moving and leading each of you in your lives. So thank you for responding to that invitation and that call. And thank you, sponsors and all the team who especially journey with these catechumens and candidates. You are special representatives of our parish, and I'm very grateful for those ways that you'll ask those questions and offer that prayer that our catechumens and candidates will need as they continue along this journey with the Holy Spirit. Now, something else that's important with the rite of acceptance is we all noticed how there was a special emphasis on the signing of the cross. I want to explain why that is the case and how that connects especially to the gospel message this weekend. The sign of the cross, from the earliest origins in the Old Testament, when it originates with what would be the equivalent of look to us like an X, or would be the Hebrew Tav, was a way of separating or identifying those that were faithful to the covenant with God versus those Jews who during times of persecution had fallen into basically pagan worship and had forsaken the one true God. So the Tav was that way of especially identifying or marking those individuals that had been faithful. So it was a sign of identification, of fidelity to God, but also it was a sign of protection as well, that as someone chose to be faithful to God, one would experience the ultimate protection, but not necessarily that they would not die in this life, but that they would not die when it came to eternal life, that they would be with God forever in heaven. And that is the origin of the sign of the cross, especially as we see it as Catholics in our rites. And so whenever we make the sign of the cross, beginning especially at the moment of baptism, it has this significance of how someone is identified with Christ. So what is the easiest way that someone is identified as a Catholic Christian? Because of the fact that we make the sign of the cross. Even in movies, many times we see that, right? They'll do that, and it's a common thing. If you see someone making the sign of the cross over their forehead, they are a Catholic Christian. So it's a form of identification. And it's very powerful also when we face temptations to make the sign of the cross, because we remind ourselves we identify with the one true God and we don't identify with various temptations, etc. So that sign of identification. But also, the sign of the cross is meant to be a sign of protection as well. For those who choose to identify with the one true God, that the one true God will also offer protection to those who have chosen that. That's why in many of the different prayers and rites that we offer, especially when offering protection prayers, the cross is dominant in those protection prayers. And many times when people are seeking the protection of God in their homes, they'll have a crucifix as a special way of asking for God's protection. So this dual significance of identification and protection. And as we prepare ourselves for the solemnity of Christ the King next Sunday, we basically are preparing for the end of the church's liturgical calendar year. And that's why the readings talk about the end times. And I find that sometimes we can be afraid of the end times, but when we're afraid of the end times, it's usually because we're not prepared. And so the first thing that's good, if we notice that when we think of the end times or of the end of our lives, we've experienced fear, is to offer that to God and to say, God, help me to know, is there some area of my life where especially maybe I need to repent, where I need to ask for your forgiveness, Lord, and where I need to acknowledge that struggle, that vice, that place of darkness that resides within me, and invite your light into those places. That is a good first step of acknowledge that fear, acknowledge that need, invite God into those places, so then someone can seek to go forward in being prepared from when the Lord calls us from this life into the life to come. Now, you might have also heard or noted on our social media that unfortunately this week, once again, someone tried to enter into our church. So they tried this time on the metric side because they noticed all the cameras we put up on the courtyard side of the church. And they tried to break one of the windows, but they weren't able to gain entry. And when I was praying about that, at first I was like, Lord, again? Isn't enough with a pandemic, with a winter storm flooding the sanctuary, with one person trying to break into the church, and again? And the Lord reminded me, yes, someone tried once again, but the Lord reminded me, did they get in? No, they did not. And I share that because when we face darkness, whether it's the darkness within of our own sinfulness, I'm a sinner, every person here is a sinner as well, sometimes we can become discouraged by our sinfulness when it seems like we do the same thing over and over again, and we can sometimes despair or become discouraged. Also, when we see evil that happens in the world as well. But I encourage us to remember what's happened with our temple literally is the way our Lord is trying to teach us something. If we choose to ask for God's protection, God will protect us. It doesn't mean that people will not try and that the forces of darkness will not try to enter. But what the sign of the cross and all that our Lord has done for us reminds us is that if we choose to keep asking and trusting in God's protection, God is faithful to us. There will be perhaps a few cracked windows along the way that have to be replaced and paid for in different ways, but that ultimately our Lord is victorious. And that's why next week we'll celebrate that great solemnity of Christ the King, which is a victorious feast. So even though we face that battle with daily darkness inside ourselves, and with exterior darkness in the world around us, we remind ourselves that Christ is with us, protects us, and desires to light our way. And so let us especially ask for the Lord's encouragement and to persevere always, as that powerful last line of today's gospel reminds us. The Lord is faithful. May we always continue to respond to God's fidelity to us with our own faithfulness.